Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the Parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So, if you've never been to the Parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
We began by talking about the destination, the end point of our relationship with Jesus. And we said that contrary to all these other things that fight for our destination, that we get wrapped up thinking about and kind of dwelling on, that what God really is interested in pulling us all towards is loving union with God, loving union with the Trinity, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not just about salvation. It's not just about learning good things. It's not just about getting the details of our lives in order. God wants to draw us into a dynamic, loving union with Himself, to the point where our identity and God's identity through Christ become so intermingled that it's hard to imagine our lives as separated, to the point where these things of God and the things of the kingdom of God just come naturally out of us, and they're not like gritting our teeth and let's work so hard, that this just naturally flows up, like Jesus talked about, as a well, as a river of life, of living water from within our souls. And we talked about how we get there. So if you've missed this over the last 3 weeks, then I encourage you to go back and listen online at our podcast, because you can hear the details of each one of these stages. But we've listed out these four stages in the journey. And we start at the looking stage, where there's no commitment, and we just kind of look from a distance, and we say, who is this Jesus guy? I'm interested, I'm intrigued, but I'm not going to take any kind of steps that change anything in my life. And then we move into a stage that's learning. And that learning stage for us can be many, many, many years, maybe many decades of our lives, where we're learning more about what God has forgiven in us. We're learning more about who God is. We learn about who we are as people. We learn about how to embrace practices that align our life with God's kingdom, so that we're not just living completely separate lives from what Jesus says. So the learning phase is incredibly important. And then before we move to the next stage, there's this critical juncture that we called the wall last week. And in the wall, things are difficult and ambiguous. For some of us, the wall may last 5, 10 years. It may be longer than that. But the wall is just this place where, instead of adding new things to our spiritual life, instead of trying to learn more, instead of finding a new routine or finding a new truth about God and Scripture, all of a sudden we sense God calling us to subtract things. He points to some of our deepest desires or our longings, and we find them being removed or subtracted. Some of it is within our control and some of it is not. Maybe it's a crisis that shakes us up. And through that process, that difficult journey, he draws us in his love to the listening stage of growth, where instead of just talking to God and offering up to him our suggestions on life or what we want to pray for and all these things that are so important, we begin to stop and actually listen. And we begin to have a living relationship with the living word of God that can speak to us in so many different ways and challenge us and begin to draw us even closer to his heart. And then finally, the last stage here on this earth is this stage that we're calling letting go, where finally every decision we make in life is made completely through the lens of hand-in-hand relationship with Jesus. Jesus becomes our closest friend, our greatest love in this world, and every moment of life we're spent in this continual communion with God, where prayer isn't this thing that we put on our calendar so much as it is something we do every moment of every day. And so that's the journey from the looking stage to the learning stage, through the wall to the listening stage to the letting go. It's a long process. And in fact, last week I got a question that was a really, really good question. It's probably one of the most frequent questions I've received over the last 3 weeks, which is, does this process repeat itself? Do you ever get to the letting go stage and then realize, oh my goodness, I've got to learn something all over again, and you do this cycle all over again? And we've talked about this and prayed about it and kind of batted the idea back and forth. And here's what I've come down to. After reading through the scriptures and reading through what the saints throughout the history of the church have said, the answer is yes and no. Yes, we repeat this cycle over and over and over again in our lives. And we see it in little tiny glimpses. where God is calling us to learn something specific, or he's calling us to give up or to surrender something specific, and we go through this cycle of learning and then finally listening and letting go, and then maybe our life circumstances change or something gets shaken up and we have to go through the cycle again. So every once in a while, we will go through this in a repeated sequence, but if we could zoom out to the whole of our lives, and if we could fast forward to the very end of our lives on this earth and take a look back at what God sees of our journey from the day that we're born until the day that he takes us to be with Jesus, it probably looks like one long journey through these stages. And in the microcosms, it looks like these little tiny circles going round and round and round. And we may not see it at the time. We may not be able to understand it. But in the whole of our lives, we're making one big progress through this journey. I kind of think of it this way. My son, 3 weeks ago, learned to tie his shoes for the first time. And if you've ever taught a kid to tie their shoes, it is intensely frustrating because it's so simple to us and it's so like brainless. We know how to tie shoes. We just do it all the time. And then all of a sudden you have to go, okay, wait a minute, how do you tie a shoe? I'm not sure. And so you look up YouTube videos on how to tie shoes, which is what I did. And so I'm teaching him how to tie the shoes. He's frustrated because he doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want to go through that process. He finally gets the basic mechanics of it right. He does it the first time and goes, oh my goodness, he's running around the house. I just tied my shoes. Undoes it. Can't do it again. Has to do it over and over and over. And then all of a sudden it becomes more and more natural and more and more natural. And now he's at the point where a few weeks later, we say, hey, Jude, go put your shoes on. And there's no fussing. There's no complaining. It's just, okay, I'll go tie my shoes. Now, is tying his shoes the ultimate goal for what I want to see Jude accomplish in his life? No. But is it an important stage in the journey? Yes. Eventually, what I want to see for Jude's life is that he wakes up in the morning, he irons his own clothes, he puts them on, ties his shoes, makes his breakfast, packs his bag, gets in a U-Haul truck, and drives to his home where he lives. That's the goal, right? That's the goal. Now, I'm not saying, oh, buddy, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you back there, buddy. What I mean by that is, one day, I want Jude to be a man. I want him to be able to stand on his own two feet and know exactly how to live as a man and to get married and have his own family. Sorry, that really messed me up. That's what I want for him. Now, the tying the shoes is an important part of that journey. And without it, it would be difficult to find a wife, probably. So it's a really important part of the journey. And so hopefully you can see what I mean. We go through little stages of learning. We go through little stages of this process. And we don't even see it in the moment. But when we back up, what the Lord sees is he's drawing us through this giant curve of walking through the rising and building and ascending and climbing the ladder and then falling deeper and deeper in love. Now, before we finish up, there's a few things that I want to highlight. There's a few important notes that I want to make sure we go through because without these things, we can get this confused. There's a few things that are really important to understanding this journey. First of all, everyone is different. Everybody is different. So even though the process may be similar for each one of us, and even though we can understand these stages and compare notes, we enter the process with a different story. And a history. We all enter the process from a different place, a different story, a different history. We enter the process with a different personality. God has uniquely wired us and created us with a different way of viewing the world. We enter the process with a different spiritual pathway. If you've never heard that before, God creates us just like he creates us with different personalities. He creates us with different spiritual pathways, ways that we most easily understand and interact with God, whether it's through learning, reading, whether it's through contemplative prayer or historical traditions or getting out in nature or meeting with other people or worship or celebration. There's so many different ways that God creates us to interact with him, and we're all different. And we all have different areas of brokenness. Every single one of us is broken, but we're all broken in different ways. And so think about the way that Jesus engaged people throughout the Gospels. He did not have a simple thing that he would pull out of his pockets and say, this is how you interact with me. There was no four spiritual laws that he handed out to people. He would interact with each person in their own unique way. With Peter, he interacted with him in the realm of fishing and spoke to him in a language that he would understand. With Nathanael, he says, hey, I saw you underneath a fig tree and showed him a vision or a revelation. With Nicodemus, he interacted with him with intelligence and reason, and he talks things out with him. With the Samaritan woman that we learned about today in this passage of scripture, he gives her personal knowledge and says, I know who you are and I know your story. And with the rich young ruler that comes up to him and says, how can I get into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus points out the one thing that he's holding on to the most and challenges him. Jesus engages each person in a different way, and he does that with us as well. So what this means is that as we think about this journey, we can't play the comparison game. You cannot compare where you are in the journey of spiritual formation to where someone is. If you do that, you lose every time. Because if you come out ahead, then guess what? You're prideful. Okay, so lose, you're done. If you come out behind them, then you're judgmental about yourself and you're bringing these things down to a place that Jesus doesn't want you to be. There's discouragement and despair that can come from that. And so either way, you lose. So don't try and play the comparison game to someone else. The point is not where you are compared to someone else. It's whether or not we're moving. And then we can't prescribe our story to someone else. If you've ever been pregnant or been around someone who's pregnant, as soon as someone knows that you're pregnant, they will tell you the craziest, weirdest stories about their pregnancy and just like put that on you and say, well, you know what I experienced? And they'll tell you this terrible story that you go, why on earth would you share this with me? We don't need to do that with one another. Just because your journey looked one way, and when you walked through the season of learning, you learned things in this sequence or in this order, doesn't mean you can prescribe that for someone else. Everyone's journey is unique. Secondly, learning changes as we grow. The way that we learn changes as we grow. This is one of the things for me that's been the most liberating about this. People who are in different stages of spiritual growth require different things to move forward. In fact, one of the most interesting findings in the research that people have done about this over the last 20 years is that attendance in church and enrollment in church activities and doing every single thing that a church offers does not equal growth. It doesn't. No matter what church, surveying thousands of churches around the country, the more involved you are does not mean the faster you move along that curve. Because what moves us along that curve changes as we grow. Everything is not for everyone. In the early stages of spiritual growth, community interactions, Sunday sermons, group environments, studies, lessons, things with very intentional information can be incredibly powerful. And then as we move through the wall and move to those other stages of the journey, things become a little bit more ambiguous. And small groups typically become less effective and more personal relationships are required where we can dig and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through personal interaction. And Sunday services become a whole lot less about being fed by a pastor and become a lot more about interacting with God, the person of Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so if you've ever been frustrated in your spiritual journey, if you've ever been in a small group or in a Bible study or on a Sunday sermon and just thought, everyone around me is nodding and their minds are being completely blown and it's just not making sense to me, then this might be one of the reasons why. Because as you move through the journey, the things that we need to help us continue to grow change as we grow. And then finally, God does the work. Please don't miss this. This is probably the most important thing in this entire series. God does the work. I don't do the work. You don't do the work. The church doesn't do the work. God does the work. So as we've been studying these stages, these four stages, the four boxes, what I want to do, what I'm tempted to do is take a big parish logo and slap it right in the middle of that and say, look, the church is going to push you through this. The church is going to be there to give you the exact thing that you need to move to the next stage. And here's our spiritual growth process. And if you're in the looking stage, then you need to sign up for X, Y, and Z. And if you're in the learning stage, then you need to go through 3 months of this process and then we'll spit you out the other side. But the church doesn't do the work. God does the work. God and God alone can draw us through this process. Remember, our goal here at this church is not that you would end up in a place of loving union with the parish. That's not the goal. When you get to the letting go stage, what I don't want for you is for someone to say, how in the world has this happened in your life? How have you grown this much? What I don't want to come out of your mouth is, well, I go to this great church. What I want to hear come out of your mouth is, I love Jesus, and he's so good to me, and he has drawn me closer step by step every single day of my life. And yes, he's used this church, and yes, he's used these relationships, but it's primarily God who has done the work. God is at the center of this process. He alone draws us to each new stage and season of life. That spring of living water that Jesus talks about, you can't manufacture that. We can't make that happen. We can't unveil a spring of living water Bible study class that's going to instantly produce that in your life. We can give you some helpful steps along the journey, but at the end of the day, everything that's drawing you towards the heart of God is all coming directly from him. So, why is all this stuff so important? We spent 4 weeks talking about this. Why is this so important? Why are we thinking about this and dwelling on this? Partially, the part of the reason why I wanted to explain this to all of us and walk us through it is because it helps explain why, as a church, we do a few things that are a little bit different. We do a few things that might make you a little bit uncomfortable from time to time. They might frustrate you. First of all, we don't do small groups as a church. And this is the reason. We'll do certain small group environments. We'll encourage people to get involved in small groups. We'll help support ministries that do these kinds of things and allow you to get connected with them. But on the whole, our formation strategy for you is not to just pick 10 leaders out of this group, divide everybody up into small groups and say, all right, have fun, grow and learn, because it's a journey and it's a process and it changes as we go through. And in certain stages of the journey, those small groups might be incredibly effective. And so we need to offer places where people can have those kinds of relationships. But in others, they lose their effectiveness and things change. So any kind of one-size-fits-all strategy is not going to work. And this is why, it would be very easy for me to just pick great leaders. We've got them. We've got incredible people in this church, and put everybody in a small group. And I would feel at the end of the day like, okay, cool. We've done our job. Formation's done. It's taken care of. But it's not, because the journey changes as you walk through the stages of your life. If you ever heard the popular quote, I love this, it's from H.L. Mencken. For every complex problem, there is an answer that is clear, simple, and wrong. For every complex problem, there's an answer that's clear, simple, and wrong. And we can create a lot of clear and simple answers to the journey of formation. But at the end of the day, God wants to do something unique in each and every one of us. And so we have to open-handedly follow him in that process. This is also why we want everyone to serve. Everyone. We made this challenge last year that our servant leaders today are wearing like Batman costumes, which is amazing. But most days they're wearing our red servant leader t-shirts. We want to encourage every single person in this church to step into a role of service, whether it's here, whether it's outside of these walls, because of all of these stages, one of the only things that's been found to help people move through each one of these stages is serving. Of all the different things, not small groups, not just studies, not prayer time, not spiritual disciplines, the discipline of service is the one thing that has been found to help people move through each one of these stages, and we want that for you. This is also why our table groups that we do on Sunday nights that I mentioned a moment ago are intentionally vague. Those table groups don't have a moment where we go through a specific Bible study. We do that in other environments. Those table groups don't have a moment where, you know, I show up and teach you for 30 minutes. Those table groups are built around the idea of relationships. The idea of table groups is for you to find spiritual friendships, safe environments for you to interact across people that are with people that are in various stages of the journey, and for all of us through those relationships to encourage one another, no matter where we are in the journey, to encourage one another along the way. So if in your table group you meet someone who's a little bit farther along on the journey, then the idea is to try and get some time with them and build a relationship with them and see how the Lord might want to draw you forward just through the relationships you develop in those table group environments. And then finally, as a church, we want you to say no. We want you to say no. We do a lot of things. We've got calendars back in the back with all the different events and groups and things that are happening. If you say yes to everything, if you show up at every function and you attend every single study and you're a part of every single class and you serve on every single team, I guarantee you, you will not grow. I guarantee you, you will die. You will pass out. You will become a hurried, busy person, and it will just increase the busyness that we typically find in our lives. We work really hard at this church against FOMO. Everybody know FOMO? I didn't know what FOMO was until we started this church, and then I realized it's a very real thing, the fear of missing out. Oh, if I'm not at that Bible study, what am I going to miss? Oh, if I'm not a part of that group, what am I going to miss? We want to place that to the side and say that we remember that just getting involved in 15 different church activities doesn't guarantee that we move forward in growth. In fact, if you want to ensure yourself that you don't grow, pack your schedule and your calendar. This is also why we don't want to be a church that has 300 ministries to meet every single need for every single person, because somebody has to lead them and organize them and ensure that they're good. And all of a sudden we become a group of people who's not growing. We're just busy. And so it's also why we pour into other ministries and other resources, like what CloudWalk does with Life Compass and like BSF with incredible Bible study that they do, different conferences and retreats that are available to us. We don't have the corner on the market. Something doesn't have to be created by me for it to be good and helpful. We want to pour in and give you freedom to explore all these different resources. When you put it all together, this is what I want you to grab today. My spiritual growth is God's work and my responsibility. Does that make sense? My spiritual growth is God's work. It's not my work. God does the work, but it's my responsibility. Who does the work of drawing you into loving union with God? God does. Not the church, not your mentor, not your spouse. God does the work. But who is responsible for responding and taking the next step in the journey? You are. Not your spouse, not your friend, not me, not a neighbor. You are responsible for listening to the Lord and taking that next step on the journey. So I want us all to say this together, okay? So I want us to read this from the top as kind of an oath that we're going to take together, that this is true. Ready? My spiritual growth is God's work and my responsibility. Who does the work? God. Who must respond? Me. That's true. This journey is beautiful, and God wants to take us to places that we could never even imagine. Places where that well of living water just springs up within us. And instead of having to work and labor to draw a bucket of water up out of the well, which is what we see in that passage, instead of having to sweat and pull this rope and draw this bucket of water up, and that may be what it feels like at first, that over time, through his love and his grace, he draws us closer and closer and closer to a place where a spring of living water just flows from within us, and we couldn't stop it if we wanted to, where the life of Jesus just overtakes us. So one of the things that I want to give you today, and we'll pass it out at the end of the service. That is awesome. That was great. Tell him I'm busy. I can't talk. That was awesome. So one of the things I want to give you, I'm sorry, Sarah Jane, that was terrible. Sorry. Back there in the back, we've got a paper for you, and I want to give it to you today because I hope it will be a helpful resource. It has kind of broken out in stages, a few different environments, some that we offer, some that other ministries in town offer, like BSF and like CloudWalk. It also has a few books if you're a book person or a reader. There's a few different books that if you want a suggestion of something to take a next step, you can do that as well. And so just stage by stage, there's a few things. Now, that list could be infinitely long. And so if you want more information, come and talk to me. And if you need help along the way, just ask. Feel free to ask me, ask a friend, ask your table group leader, ask someone in this room that you respect, ask the Lord through prayer. Just ask for help on what your next step might be. We're going to pray together, and we're going to come towards a time where we take communion together as a church. And as we do, I want to leave us with a very simple prayer. I've prayed this before for us. I love this prayer. It fits so well with what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. That this journey of spiritual formation is a long one, okay? So buckle up. And you may not see it in your life, but I see it when I look at this church as a whole. I see your stories and I see what you're going through. And I know some of you are going through some really, really difficult places right now. But from my perspective, from prayerfully listening to your stories and praying and asking Jesus what he's doing, he is moving us very slowly to something that is so beautiful. And he's got a picture of what life could look like for you that you wouldn't believe if he showed it to you right now. And it's happening. It may not be happening as fast as you want it. It may not be happening as fast as I want it. But very slowly and gently, he's drawing you to his heart. So I want to pray this for us. If you would, bow your heads and just listen to these words. This is a great prayer from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet, it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. We want that to be true in our hearts. We are so impatient. And it's even a good desire. We want to grow. We want to change. We want to become more like you. But Lord, would you give us the patience and the perspective to see where we are in that journey, and to not judge ourselves against where we think we should be, and not judge ourselves against other people, and to see the places of brokenness that you're beginning to heal and you're beginning to draw out of us, and not just run from the pain and wish that it was better. Lord, you know I want to do that. But God, give us patience to trust that your hand is leading. And that even though we go through stages of instability and it may take a very long time, that we can trust in the slow work of God. Lord, I pray that for us as a church, as a collective of people, that we wouldn't be known as perfect people or people who do everything in this community the right way, but we would be known as people who are slowly, patiently, carefully listening to you and following you along this journey. God, don't let us as a church take the reins and try to create the perfect program. Let us gently and patiently walk together as a group of people that aren't being led by a program or a class, but are being led by your living, breathing Holy Spirit. All these things today, God, we ask in our hearts and souls, in your great name.